Check out my newly renamed podcast, Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown, where we'll discuss the ongoing conflict with Iran and its implications for our economy, security, and upcoming elections. Hope to see you there. Democracy on Fire on United America Network.
Welcome to Hot Spots on the United America Network. From the shifting landscapes of politics and culture to the urgent challenges facing our planet and our communities, this is where the conversations that matter most come alive. With her experience as a journalist, legislator, and activist, Kay Brown brings sharp insight, uplifting perspective, and unflinching courage to the issues shaping our future. Get ready for candid conversations, bold ideas, and the pushback our times demand. Now, here's Kay.
Hello, and welcome to Hotspots. So glad you're joining us. One of the popping hot topics in our country right now is healthcare, what it costs and who has access, as Republicans in Congress are once again lining up to reward billionaires over millions of Americans who need access to healthcare. And after 8 years of promises about how they were going to replace and improve Obamacare, this week, the issue has come to the forefront once again, and Republicans have finally gotten around to introducing plans. The situation is chaotic as we are recording it today, but they're attempting to do something before the holidays and before the end of the year, when tax exemptions or tax credit subsidies are going to expire for millions of people who depend on the ACA marketplace for their health insurance. So it appears unlikely they're going to actually get it together to do anything, and that health insurance subsidies that have helped millions of people access care will be those subsidies expiring and premiums going up for some people as much as 75%, and people paying over $1,000 a month. And the predictions are many more people are going to come be uninsured as a result of this if we don't get this situated. So a lot of our friends and neighbors are going to be impacted. Many adults who get their coverage through the marketplace are small business owners and their employees and self-employed workers. I'm going to be talking about this disgraceful situation with my guest, Shion Roy. Dr. Roy is a public health expert, a cardiologist, and associate professor of medicine at Harbor UCLA, and he's past president of the Los Angeles County Medical Association. I'm so pleased to welcome Shion today. He's a passionate advocate for public health policies that prioritize equity, accessibility, and well-being of all residents. And he's stepped forward to run for the state Senate. I know it takes a lot of energy and personal sacrifice to run for public office. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Kay.
Tell me a little bit more about your background and what motivated you to get involved in politics.
I think that it's something that, you know, growing up, my family, I'm a first generation American, son of Indian immigrants. And in India, one of my grandfather's brothers was in the parliament there. And the family in Calcutta, India was always involved in local politics. And as I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, it was something that was on the dinner table, at the dinner table. I used to watch the CBS Evening News with my dad every day, Dan Rather, growing up. We talked about politics, current events, and it's something that I really grew up with. Eventually, I was president of my high school Democratic Club, my college Democratic Club at Johns Hopkins University, and then I did a year of AmeriCorps. And then I went to medical school in Virginia and got away from advocacy because of the time. Medical school is difficult, and I spent all my time learning and studying and in the hospital. After medical school, I went to Georgetown for my residency, and one of the reasons I wanted to go to Georgetown was to be in D.C., to get back involved with public policy, And unfortunately, residency is also very time intensive. And I did get re-involved to some degree, but then I met my girlfriend who matched out at UCLA for radiology and who eventually became my wife. And that's what brought me out to LA. And I remember we did a year of long distance. And soon after I moved to LA to do my further training at Harbor UCLA, we moved to Santa Monica. And I remember Kathy, who was not a political person and at the time and still is 15 years after being married, that's not as true anymore. But she looked at me very specifically, I remember, and she was like, advocacy is a passion of yours, public policy, that's something that you live and breathe, and you should get re-involved again. Don't wait till later in life. You should do that now. And she totally regrets saying that now as I'm running for state senate. But I remember just generically on Google, I searched Santa Monica and Democratic Party, got really great mentorship, became president of the Santa Monica Democratic Club a few years later and became a local elected, currently the chair of the Santa Monica College Board of Trustees. And then I also got involved in organized medicine for the first time. And so got involved with California Medical Association, LA County Medical Association, the American Medical Association, and found great mentorship there too, and really was able to attain leadership positions, which was really helpful in growing as a leader, and then also leading these organizations based on the values I believe in. Universal healthcare, everybody deserves quality healthcare, and that's really important to me as a physician at Harbor UCLA at a big public hospital that serves South LA. And then as we got closer to the 2020s, our healthcare system, before all of the things you mentioned in your introduction, was already in crisis. And I ran for assembly in 2020 and got redistricted out of my race. But the reason I ran at that time was my wife and I, we sat down and there was this realization that there's just not enough people who are familiar with our healthcare system. There's not enough physicians and scientists at every level of government. And it was so clear during COVID as we went through our COVID response that they're just people didn't know what was going on the ground and didn't have familiarity with it. And it really brought an importance to that mission of getting more physicians, more healthcare folks into different levels of government. And I think I can make a difference in the legislature. And as we got to 2020, it got to this year, after I had gotten redistricted out, another thing happened to us and we lost our home in the Palisades fire on January 7th. It was big upheaval. We have an eight-year-old who's a third grader, and it was a big upheaval for our family and added mission, I think, as we thought about, are we going to do this? Because it's not just me doing this. This is our family doing this together, was representing the voice of our rebuilding community as well. It's a huge upheaval for our community in Malibu, Palisades, and then the other communities from the Eaton fire and the other fires that happened that day. And it's going to be a big part of what's important in terms of the state's mission for our district over the course of the next decade. And bringing that voice up there is something that's really meaningful to our family. And so that's been the short story on my journey to how I got here.
Wow, what a tumultuous life I'm sure you've had since the fires. And it's going to be interesting to see what you're able to accomplish in the state Senate on these issues. But let's turn now to the national situation. And what cuts to public health care subsidies were made in the big ugly bill that passed Congress last summer?
This bill was basically a tax cut for corporations and the ultra wealthy. And the tax cuts were on the backs of working Americans and the most vulnerable populations in America. And so the two big things, the number one thing is dramatic Medicaid cuts that affect every state, the vulnerable populations in every state. And it's not just blue states, it's red states. Some of our poorest states in the country are red states. And so it really affects people in all 50 states and the most vulnerable among us. And it's basically a cost shift to the states. And in California, we have a real budget crisis because of the economy. And the state has also made cuts. And that cost shifts further down to local public, to counties, essentially. And so it doesn't save the taxpayer any money to make these cuts. It saves the federal government money, but it's still going to be on the backs of taxpayers because nobody is saying, let's not take care of our most vulnerable basketball populations. In LA particularly, I don't hear conservatives saying that. I don't hear liberals saying that. These are people that everybody agrees should have healthcare. And in LA, people agree on that. And unfortunately, that healthcare is going to become more expensive because people are going to have to get primary care through the emergency rooms. And it's basically hearkening back to before the Affordable Care Act, when lots of people didn't have insurance, didn't have Medicaid. They would go to emergency rooms throughout the country and get cared for in a more expensive way than if they got primary care, preventative care as outpatients. And that's bad for patients. It's also bad for hospitals. Hospitals were going out of business in record numbers at that time. And the Affordable Care Act really shored things up to some degree. Not perfect, but it shored things up. And now that's the other front that's getting dramatically scaled back is our premiums for so many working Americans, small business owners are going to go up because of the big ugly bill. And so two fronts attacking working Americans. It's the premiums going up for people who get insurance through the exchange, that kind of thing. And then the dramatic Medicaid cuts.
So what impacts are you seeing in your practice and your hospital? Are people actually losing healthcare now?
Yeah, in California, we've had our immigrant population, our undocumented immigrants have been on Medi-Cal they get covered on Medi-Cal, many of them, and they're losing that because of the state cuts. So that's at least a third of my population that I serve is undocumented. There are people who do work here in LA, and most people in LA, there are people in our community, there are neighbors, there are people in our community who do really important functions here in LA. And I think it's fairly universal across the board in Los Angeles that every Los Angelino should have some sort of access to healthcare. And that's fallen by the wayside because of the federal and the state budget cuts. And on top of that, we're seeing the ICE raids here in Los Angeles. And because people have lost insurance or Medi-Cal, and then our immigrant populations are fearful to go to places like hospitals where we've seen ICE outside of our emergency rooms, it has affected people coming to their appointments, people coming to the emergency room. And it's hard to track data-wise because so much of this is not captured by data. But I have no doubt that people have lost their lives because of this and have gotten sicker. And that's a real unfortunate thing. And I think over the course of the next few years, as the data weighs out on this, it'll be able to capture that more meaningfully as we get further and further on with these cuts.
So do you see these cuts and the expiration of the premium subsidies impacting the bigger health system and impacting people who aren't even part of the ACA system? I've read and heard that there is a chance that the whole system will be impacted. And in what ways will that be happening?
These issues impact not just Medi-Cal recipients or ACA recipients, they impact every Californian. And that's because, number one, it's going to drive up the cost on the taxpayer. So that's number one. Taxpayers are going to bear the brunt of this in Los Angeles, for example, because our public health system is going to help take care of all Angelenos in a more expensive way because they're not going to have preventative health care. So that's number one. It's going to affect taxpayer dollars for all Angelenos, for all Californians, regardless of socioeconomic status and where you get your health care coverage through. Number two, both in rural communities in California and in urban communities in California, people are going to have an issue with access to care. Medicare recipients were already facing an access to care crisis to get new primary care providers in California. We've had unprecedented retirements after COVID, an aging population in California, and it's already the access to get a new primary care provider can take several months for Medicare recipients. And so that is just going to get worse with these cuts because most primary care providers, most outpatient providers take a variety of insurance. They might take care of some Medi-Cal. They might take care of Medicare, private insurance. And so as they face those cuts, it's going to drive more and more people into retirement. more and more of these essentially small businesses are going to go out of business because of that. And it's going to accentuate the access to care crisis that's there already for all Californians and make it even worse. And then finally, both in urban LA, both in rural California, you're going to see hospitals go out of business because they're going to be providing inpatient care for uninsured patients that they're not going to get paid for. And this harkens back again to before the Affordable Care Act, and you're going to see healthcare providers and hospitals go out of business because of this. And what's going to happen is hospitals like mine at Harbor UCLA, when I first got here before the Affordable Care Act, the wait times in our hospital were days, not hours often. And the Affordable Care Act really made a difference. The Medi-Cal expansion made a difference because now you go to our emergency room and you should be able to get seen within hours. But we're gonna have an overwhelming wave of people again coming to our emergency room similar to 15, 20 years ago. And you're gonna see we're the big hospital that serves South LA. And so if you have a real problem, you're gonna come to our hospital regardless of insurance status. And when that happens, you're going to be facing lines that are unprecedented in the near history. And so it's going to affect everybody, both in terms of their health care and both and their taxpayer dollars.
So it seems like we are absolutely in a crisis. Healthcare is so important to people, and it's crucial for quality of life. And why is it so difficult for Congress to get anything done on this? And how likely is it that they're actually going to be able to address some of these issues before the end of this year?
Well, I think that no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I think we all recognize as Americans, our federal government in DC is dysfunctional. People are not working together. People are not working together to find solutions to problems for everyday Americans. And so I think as a Democrat, that's what we need to be focused on, is really to get away from the rhetoric and making it about Trump. And we need to, and I think we've done a good job on this year as we've been advocating for working Americans in this bill, is really just lead with holding strong on policy, holding strong that, you know, we can't have corporate tax cuts and tax cuts for the ultra wealthy on the backs of working people, make their pocketbook worse, but also their healthcare worse. And so I think it's just making sure that people, that working Americans realize what's going on. And so I think that's the big thing for Democratic leaders, particularly, is to make sure that we articulate that this is what's happening, and these are the reasons what's happening, this is happening. And one side is focused on finding solutions for working Americans, and then the other side, pretty clearly from the policies that they're advocating, are working for solutions for corporations and the wealthy. And I think there's a stark difference, and we just have to make sure that people understand that.
Have you looked at or had an opportunity to think about these health insurance accounts that some Republicans have said should be put in place of what we have now? And they want to change it up in some way. Do you have an opinion about those changes proposed?
So I haven't looked at economic of a financial analysis on that. And so I don't want to speak to, I haven't looked at the proposals that are getting voted on today, looking at the financial downstream impacts of shifting that money towards health savings accounts away from premiums. Democrats are focused on premiums. That's the everyday monthly payments that working people are making. And that's where the Democrats are rightly focused on. And I think Republicans, I think they would tell you this, they're focused on further privatizing our healthcare system, just privatizing Social Security. I think there's a large number of Republicans in leadership who are focused on that. And this is, all of these efforts are trying to bring us towards a healthcare system that is going away from helping working people in vulnerable communities in the best possible way through our Medicare and Medicaid systems, and towards just privatizing all of healthcare. and what is going to happen when that happens, if that happens with Republican leadership, is who is it going to hurt? It's going to hurt vulnerable Americans, communities of color, working Americans. That's who it's going to hurt. And I think Democrats are rightly focused on just focusing on pocketbook of working Americans and making sure that we really preserve Medicare and Medicaid as we know it.
I want to thank you, Dr. Roy, for chatting with me about this today. It's really a gripping issue that I'm sure everybody is anxious to see what the outcome is. And it doesn't seem very likely that Congress is going to extend the premium tax credit subsidies before the end of the year, but good on them if they can manage. But if they don't, or even if they do, the most promising solution to ensure that healthcare becomes an affordable and accessible human right in our country is a really big blue wave at the ballot box in 26 and in 2028 and beyond.
Absolutely.
And until then, and I'd say stay strong, keep resisting, and I hope to see you again soon in the new year on Hotspots.
Thank you so much, Kay. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Hot Spots with Kay Brown, where tough issues meet thoughtful conversation. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and join us again as we spotlight the struggles, solutions, and stories that fuel resilience and change. Until next time, keep your fire burning. Hot Spots is a production of the United America Network and is available on most major podcast platforms, as well as from unitedamericanetwork.com. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.
If you've had enough and want to wake up our recalcitrant Congress, join me on Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown for the top 23 reasons we need regime change now. Hope to see you there, Democracy on Fire on United America Network.